We'll be leaving the church in the bus at 6 o'clock. And if you would like to go, and it's an Easter drama. If you'd like to go to this Easter drama, please let us know. Pam, would you... Can you get the list for me? Okay. We didn't necessarily want you to go. We just want you to get the list. Okay, we'll let Pam do that. But it's just a little something extra for you to do if you'd like to go. Don't forget, we got 2 weeks before Easter. Next Sunday, we'll be observing communion. So I look forward to that. I do. And then for our Easter Sunday, and then we'll have another Sunday. But I say that to say this. We have the month of April to keep our minds focused on winning the lost and inviting folks to church. We got to continue inviting. We can't get out of that. I think COVID did a number on a lot of churches, and it got us to thinking, well, you know, there are things, bigger things than God out there, like COVID. Nothing bigger than God. Let's get back, get focused on God and getting people to look up instead of down. We need to do that. So please, let's work hard at it. There's all kinds of material out there on the table for you to take with you so that you can put something in their hand when you invite them to church. Give them a piece of material that's got the church information on it. Now, I'm sure that that we'll see some new faces, because remember, that new face is a breath of fresh air or a drink of spring water. Okay? If you weren't in Sunday school, you won't know why I did it like that. But anyway, it's good to be here this morning. You agree? Yes. If our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering, and then we'll have a special music for you this morning. We do have prayer requests. Don't forget the young man's family from Milligan that was killed by a hit and run. They hit more than the young man who passed away, but the other young runners, one of them was severely injured, and the other one got treated and released. But it's not just those runners. It's that whole Milligan family. You know, when you're in something like that, it becomes a family to you. And all over our town, it's a sadness for us. But that young man was a Christian. He knew the Lord, and so did the other runner that got injured. His testimony was on TV, and so I thought it was wonderful. God is in everything. It's historicity, folks. God's there in everything. Okay? John, would you bless this offering? Amen.
John 305 in your book. If you'll turn there with me, we're going to sing two verses this morning of the old rugged cross. The old rugged cross. Let's stand as we sing. First and fourth verse this morning. Aren't you thankful?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where it's more than shame. So cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Beautiful. You may be seated. I left a mess up there. Barry, I hope you don't. All right. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen. That should be right, Scott. Should be right. That'll work. That's good. Leave it right there. Hang on. Difficulties. That little bit of noise is okay. You'll hear that before you start. You with me? So look at the... No. No, let me see. Okay. Oh. No. Okay.
Well, let's go to plan B.
I might be able to fix it.
Okay.
Hanging those words.
citizen to do it. It's not like you're getting a free trip as a senior citizen. We're just going up whoever wants to go. So if we don't have enough of the older ones who want to go, we'll get a couple of new ones and young ones. Yes. 15 counting the driver, yeah. And we already have one, so. Okay, you already have four. Okay, I'll leave that up to you, Pam. Okay, I'm trying to look around and see. Y'all are really fuzzy. I'm a face watcher, and I can't see faces really good right now, even with or without these things. But we're glad to have you, and I don't think we have a person who's never been here before. Bill's not a visitor anymore ever because he's been here twice now, and so he's one of the family. We'll make him one of the family. And I'll go ahead and give you this little tidbit, too, since we have a couple extra minutes. We got 4 dozen eggs right from the male farm out there out in the vestibule. If you'd like to have a dozen eggs, you can pay $10 a dozen. I get the difference between four and that. So if you'd like to have a dozen fresh eggs right off of the farm, the hens out there will be happy to know that they were put to good use. I can tell you this, they are good. They are. So they're out there as you leave. You can get those. Well, never expected to have all this kind of time, but if we had a cup of coffee, we could just sit and talk all day. He's ready. Okay. If you come on up, Brother Barry. If you got a copy of a song I don't know about tomorrow, if you got that song, keep it nearby because at the end of the message, Brother Barry's going to be using that song, okay? Let's give Brother Barry a welcome to Liberty Fellowship Church today, okay?
I don't pastor any longer, and I don't preach every weekend, and I'm not yet accustomed to having a camera and being broadcast to who knows where. In fact, there's been a couple of occasions where I have spoken, and it might be one of them today, where I'll say something and I'm going, maybe that shouldn't be. Now, see, I noticed Brother Tom doesn't go broadcasting during Sunday school. Am I right? Yeah. He is. I'm going to say more about that in just a moment. Let me ask you a very serious question to begin with, and that is, do you know the Lord? Now, I recognize that I've got a Sunday morning crowd, and y'all are looking mighty good, and you've been very friendly to me, and I very much appreciate that. I go to churches sometimes, and they're like, what are you doing here? Yeah. And they treat you a little bit like you're got the plague or something. They're not sure what to do with you. See, this is already, I've already got myself in trouble. Maybe this will fail like the music did and I'll be safe. No, that's okay. Although I'm tempted to say yes to that. but do you know him? And I mean blood-bought, born again. If you died today, and we just heard a moment ago, and you're aware of this tragedy at the Milligan College, if you died today, are you sure? Are you certain? Now, if there's a question in your mind, or if you haven't received the Lord, for the next few minutes, I want you to recognize what you're missing out on, because I'm going to be speaking to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to leave the hard things to your pastor, because you know him and he comes in and out of your life and he's a part of your world. And I'm a stranger in some respects, so I'm not going to come and hit you over the head with a billy club and then leave town. I want to be of some encouragement to you all. We live in a not very encouraging world right now, and I don't even mean COVID. Let me back up and interject the Sunday school thing right now. And this is where I probably wish the camera was off, but I'm in and out of Free Will Baptist churches in Illinois, in Arkansas, and Tennessee, working with the Free Will Baptist Foundation Estate Plan Ministry, which I'll say more about at the end of the service. As a result of that, I always go to Sunday school. When I was pastoring, I used to say it's the most important hour of the week, and I didn't mean that as an exaggeration. I strongly believe in Sunday school. And when we were finished this morning, I asked the folks that were sitting around me, do you guys get this every week? Because honestly, and I've come to know Tom recently. We've played golf together a couple times, although I've known Dan for, my goodness, I don't know how many years. I've come to know Tom and David in recent years. So this isn't some mutual admiration society I got going here, but I don't hear Sunday school lessons like that everywhere I go. Now, I do hear some good ones, but I can tell you many times it is clear that there has been little to no preparation to handle the Word of God and to present any kind of instruction to people who desperately need somebody who is informed to give them some instruction relative to what is going on in our culture, what's going on in our day. And so, Brother Tom, to you, I commend you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I wish, and we've got a great Sunday school department and all of that, but I wish that everybody who attended a Free Will Baptist Sunday school hour got to hear what I heard this morning. It was extremely good, extremely good. Well, all of you believers out there, join me in Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to read the first 9 verses to you as soon as I can find my glasses. What did I do with my glasses? Well, my goodness. I don't see them there. Well, I'll be. No? You guys see any regular glasses? Maybe when I put that on?
Yeah, I bet when you were putting that on.
By the way, I got to play golf with Gene as well. Well, I'll be. Oh, well. Anybody got a large print chapter 13? Because mine is small print. This makes for great camera work, by the way. man, I don't know if that's even large enough. What have I done with my glasses? That is... That's larger. Thank you, Tom. I think I can see this well enough. Chapter 13 is an unusual chapter in Scripture. There's some controversy about it as to what the point of it is. There are a couple of segments where there are 2 or 3 verses that seem to connect, but for the most part, it feels like you're reading just random statements of truth. Obviously, there's Scripture. Obviously, it's inspired. But it is important when you approach a passage like this to say, okay, let me get a handle on what's going on. So you're going to see the subject matter change pretty abruptly, but I do want to read some of those until we get to verse 9. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. What an amazing verse. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Something mentioned in Sunday school, and I'll mention in a little while. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now my text is verse 8, but 7, 8, and 9, we're going to touch on these. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Read verse 8 aloud with me. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried away with diverse, or be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing to be able to stand in this place before these precious people. People for whom you bled, suffered, and died. People who, like me, are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and a city without foundation, a city, well, we're on our way. In the meantime, Lord, you're our helper, and we stand in need of you afresh and anew today, and I pray, Lord, if you would let me be a blessing to these people and an encouragement to these precious ones that you love so dearly, then I'll go away feeling like I've done what you wanted me to do. So you help me, and I'll give you thanks, and we'll praise you and thank you eternity without end. Amen. Now, fortunately, I think I printed what notes I have in a large enough font. I've learned to do that where I can see. Well, verse 7 has an admonition, and verse 9 has a warning. And to show you my brilliance, between 7 and 9 is verse 8, right? So 7, there is this admonition. To remember those who have the rule over you. And he is saying those who have instructed you in the Word of God. Remember those. So that's the admonition. If you look over in verse 17, and I don't have it right in front of me, but in verse 17, he says, they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Understand that Sunday school and the preaching time is not something haphazard. It's not something to be taken lightly. And, yeah, am I going to go to Sunday school? I don't know. You going to go to church today? I don't know. Well, and I know from talking to so many pastors that this COVID thing, that there's a lot of people that are still willing to stay home, and I guess they're watching. I don't know. I guess there's even technology to find out how many people have viewed your sermon or your Sunday school lesson or whatever. It doesn't tell you how long they've been there or if they ran to the restroom or got some fresh toast to go with their eggs while they're doing two or three other things while you're preaching or teaching. And it's not the same, is my point. And I understand that there are certain people that are definitely would be qualified as shut-ins, and I get that. But the rest of us, we need to be in the presence of the preacher, in the presence of the teacher, and the fellowship of the believers. We are a body, and we are meant to be together. Remember those. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is forever. And there's almost a reference to some of you have been taught by people who've gone on to be with the Lord. They're not here to give you instruction anymore. They're not here to give you counsel anymore. But remember them. Remember them fondly. Remember what they've taught you. And then the warning in verse 9 is that not to be carried away. It's almost the opposite. Don't be carried about by diverse teaching and doctrine, which is the word teaching. Instead, be established. Now, the point is this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus was always changing, how in the world could we ever be established? But He's the same yesterday, today, and whatever forever is, He will be the same, and therefore I can drop anchor there. I can establish. I can build a life and a foundation, and I've got something upon which I can build that is solid. So be careful about who you're listening to, and what you're following, and who you're following, and don't be carried away. So that's the warning. So in the middle of this warning and this admonition to remember those who've taught you the Word of God, he's got this very succinct, probably one of the most well-known verses in all Scripture, and Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you'll look back real quick in chapter 9, if you have your copy, and I've got one dear sister's Bible, she can't do that, but this essence or this idea of past, present, and future is referenced again in chapter 9. Verse 26, he says of chapter 9, that he has appeared, speaking of Jesus, to put away sin. In verse 24, he now appears, thank God, to make intercession. And then in verse 28, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So this yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters, that is an experience common to all of us. Yesterday, today, and forever. There's a saying, when you don't play golf any better than I do, and you happen along and make a good shot, and someone compliments you, you don't want them to think that you're too good or that you think you're too good, so you say something like, "Well, a blind hog finds an acorn every now and then." So I'm going to borrow that, and I'm going to say that this particular song that I'm going to quote from, I won't torture you with my singing, but even this was referenced in Sunday school this morning, lost people. God somehow, some way allows lost people who are created in His image to come along and discover or be consistent with truth. And now I'm going to take you back about 50 years to, of all people, I don't know if the Beatles have ever been quoted in this church before, but listen to this. "Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it seems they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday." Now get this. "Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly." Well, that requires a little bit of thought. Not the half the man I used to be. I get that real easy. But the suddenly, yesterday came suddenly. How could yesterday, because today is tomorrow's yesterday, and it happens so quickly, so very quickly. Forgive me, because this is going to be somewhat testimonial. You're going to learn a little bit about me in the process of this message today. And I told Pastor that this has been on my mind. Did someone just bring these to me? But yesterday my mom was a redhead and had freckles, and I didn't inherit the red hair, but I had coal black hair, but I had freckles. I was a freckle-faced little kid yesterday, riding my bike with my two older brothers and some buddies of mine up and down our little community in Shawnee, Kansas. That was yesterday. We played basketball, baseball, football. We swam. We played in the woods and camped out and all of that stuff. And occasionally, and I don't have this song, I need to get it on my playlist, on my phone. I don't have it on my phone, but occasionally I will hear this song, and the power of music is so amazing at times. I can hear this song. You may not even know the song, but then again, you might. I can hear this song, and just like that, I'm a little kid on my bike, and my buddy Chris Wilt is just up ahead of me on his bike. Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABCs, skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. But the hills we climbed were just seasons out of time. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the hills that we climbed were just seasons out of time. That was yesterday. It came so suddenly. Yeah. Yesterday. Yesterday, I was a young Marine, Ron, Tom, Mr. Dan. Any other Marines? Yesterday, I was a young Marine. And forgive me for another song I wish I could sing. I would sing these to you. I stood there boldly, standing in the sun. I felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong, like a rock. I'm standing in my dress uniform in San Diego, California, on the parade deck, graduating from the United States Marine Corps boot camp. The height of summer. And I can tell you, I had never felt so strong. I was 18, and I was. Didn't have a care. Working for peanuts. Not a dime to spare. But I was lean and solid everywhere, like a rock. My hands were steady. My eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose. My steps were quick and light. And I stood firmly for what I felt was right. Like a rock. Well, I may have felt like a rock when I was 18. But 18 and 19, what I really was a dope-smoking, beer-drinking, foul-mouthed Marine. But at age 19, I met the rock. I met the rock of ages. I met King Jesus when I was 19 years old while I was in the Marine Corps. Well, I started attending church. Now, that wasn't something that was a part of my life. I did not grow up attending church. And for the first time in my life, didn't need these back then, I opened the Bible, and there were red letters in that Bible. Well, I fell upon those, and I started reading. I started reading about the Jesus of yesterday. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know what I found? That this Jesus that had just forgiven me of my sin and swelled my heart with this thing that I never had before called peace. And sometimes we sing that song, I don't even know what the name of it is, but my sins are all gone. And I felt peace, and my guilt was all gone, and I felt peace. But I began to read, and I found out that he turned water into wine. He walked on the water. He healed lepers. He healed sick people. He calmed storms with a spoken word. We had storms come through Middle Tennessee the other day, and why, we were about ready to head to the basement. We had no control. He raised the dead. I found that he was an amazing storyteller. A certain man had two sons. Oh, really? Wonder what that's about. A sower went forth to sow. Well, if you're living in the city, that may not interest you too much, but if you're in the hills of Palestine and you've been sowing, you might want to know about this sower that went out to sow. The kingdom of heaven is like what? Treasure hidden in a field, like a mustard seed. And I watched with rapt attention as he talked with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And if that wasn't compelling enough, you just have to go over a couple chapters, maybe the next chapter, and he's talking to a beleaguered, outcast Samaritan harlot sitting there at Jacob's well, unfolding to her the mysteries of who he was. What a conversation we're allowed to sit in on. Blind Bartimaeus, Pontius Pilate. And it wasn't a long conversation, but he talked to the thief on the cross. And what a promise. His words, his actions were bathed in love, mercy, patience, tenderness, and wisdom. And I came to know the Jesus of yesterday. And as a young Marine, man, we did a lot of witnessing, and we had a lot of guys of all backgrounds and races. We had a whole crew going to church, and there'd be, back in those days, revival meetings, a lot of revival meetings, and we'd load up. Sometimes we'd go with the church, and sometimes we'd just go by ourselves, and we'd pile in. I had a motorcycle in those days, and I'm not kidding. I sold it because I couldn't take anybody to church, or not very many. And I bought the ugliest 1973 four-door brown Chevrolet Impala that Chevrolet ever produced. Oh, it was an ugly car, but I could put three or four Marines in it, and we could go to church and go to revival meetings. Well, I wish I knew the song, but there was this, I don't know, it could have just been a chorus, but it was at Emmanuel Free Will Baptist Church on Piney Grove Road, and a little, no offense to you people who are follically challenged, but he was just a short little bald guy, but he was a firecracker of a preacher. And he would lead this song, and it would just say this. And there may have been more, but this is all I can remember. And I've searched. I've been to the end of the internet trying to find the words to this song, and it's not there. He's the same Jesus, who walked the shores of Galilee. Yeah, the Jesus of yesterday is the Jesus of today. He's not lost any of his power. He is the very essence of love and mercy and patience and tenderness and wisdom and truth with a capital T. He's the same Jesus. Same today. Well, that's yesterday. Today I'm a grandfather six times over. And I'm different than I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And by the way, so are you. Because we change. Today, our beloved America is not, well, I should say it this way, is so much different than she was yesterday. The moral and cultural decline that we've preached against and prayed against, if you will, that moral decline is now cultural and moral rot. Some of our great institutions, I never dreamed I would say these things. Some of our great institutions are no longer to be trusted. And our Sunday school teacher talked us about this morning. But the United States Senate is about to confirm to the highest court in this land a woman who, when asked her testimony under oath, her testimony was, "I can't define what a woman is because I'm not a biologist." The changes that have taken place and are taking place before our very eyes are unparalleled in magnitude and pace. We're shocked by the weirdness of our own culture. And listen to me. For uninformed people, these changes are altering reality. Not for informed people, because God created male and female, created He them. That's being informed. That's understanding there is such a thing as truth and basing a life and your reality on that truth. But understand me, beloved, I've got grandkids that'll grow up, if America stands, if the Lord tarries his coming, that will grow up in a country where they will be shunned, outcast, and completely out of step by believing that there is such a thing as a boy and such a thing as a girl, and that's the end of the conversation. How do you know how to say this? We are, in a positive sense, the great Vance Havner said we're playing marbles with diamonds when it came to the gospel. But I'm telling you what, we are playing with a bevy of snakes. If we think, as a culture, in our arrogance, in our turning our back on God and truth, in our arrogance and in our ignorance, we think we're not unleashing something on this country that is going to reap horrific benefits in lives and families and ultimately this country. You can't toy with these things they're toying with without it having devastating negative impacts. Amen. On our children, on our families. Amen. Now, my country, your country, whose uniform I once wore, is changing. I'm changing. And I don't mean in those spiritual components, in that aspect, but I do a few things differently in some respects than I used to. And so do you. And I don't have time to go down that path. But he's the same. He's the same. His truth, bless his name, it endures for all generations. And it'll endure for my grandkids if they'll trust it. The cultural storms of moral degradation may swirl around us, but the anchor holds. And today he is my advocate and yours. He makes intercession for us, and I'm glad that he does. And he walks with us, and he talks with us. And down deep in our soul, he tells us and confirms and witnesses to us that we are his own. Well, then there's tomorrow. The Hebrew writer calls it forever. I'm going to use the word tomorrow in the fullest sense of a plural, if you will, the tomorrows. Well, the scriptures warn us, and I thought about this even yesterday, this happened. Boast not yourselves of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And it's a part of my common vernacular nowadays. But it was, we left the golf course yesterday, and Brother Tom said, well, I'll see you tomorrow at Sunday school, Lord willing. And James tells us, hey, tomorrow's a possibility. It's not a promise. It's a possibility. The promise is if tomorrow comes, he'll be with us. But it's a possibility. So Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to drive back to Middle Tennessee. Next week, Lord willing, I will be in West Tennessee at New Chapel Free Will Baptist Church in Counts, Tennessee, right there on the dam of Pickwick Lake. Following weekend, Lord willing, I'll be at home for Easter. What about you? You got plans? Where will you be? What will you be doing next week, next year? 5 years from now? What, more importantly, what will you be like in 5 years or 15 years? What kind of an America will we be living in 5 years or 20 years? Or? And what is it, beloved, what is it about your future that keeps you up at night, causes you to toss and turn? Health? Finances, family problem. Honestly, who knows what will happen? That's the interesting thing about human beings. We have this blessing and curse of self-awareness. It's a tragedy when someone dies, but you can run over a squirrel. That squirrel didn't know he was even here, and the squirrel that walks right beside him doesn't even know that he's there, or that's one of his buddies that's got a good rich print across his back. They don't have self-awareness, but we do. And this whole idea of sacrifice. You know what sacrifice is? Sacrifice is doing something now that will have an impact on your future. There's a reason I'm not driving a $70,000 or $140,000 Corvette. I could go buy one if I wanted to. I really could. And I'm not boasting, but I could. I could marshal enough of financial assets and go buy a Corvette. But I've got a decision to make about what kind of a future I want. And wisdom dictates that you say, you can't afford the Corvette, but you can't afford the Corvette. And I'm bargaining with the future, you see. I'm making a decision now that's going to impact. But you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But bless his name, he does. Amen? He does. He does. I'm going to wear you out with songs. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows or sunshine or rain. The Lord, now there's an inflection thing you can do here. The Lord I know ruleth over everything. Or you could say it, the Lord I know rules over everything. I know he rules over everything, or it's the Lord I know. It's both. Because the Lord I know does know what tomorrow holds. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding, that's a deep, meaningful word, in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. Well, he's the same Jesus. He's the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee. And regardless of what our tomorrows may bring, this we can be certain. The immortal, immutable, omnipotent, omniscient, all-wise God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's for the believers. Now, if you're not one, and you know if you are, Brother Dan doesn't know. Maybe even your husband or wife don't know positively, but you do know positively. So this Jesus that I've been talking about is only, all that I've been talking, it only applies if you know him. Oh, he still knows everything whether you believe in him or not. But as far as you benefiting, if you don't know him in salvation, in simple, childlike faith, I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need to be forgiven of my sin, and I want to be part of this. I don't want to be left out. And I'm living in this crazy land now, and I don't know. You can know. You can know. I'm going to read one final song, and then we're going to sing it. We're going to stand, and we're going to sing it, and we're going to raise the roof off of this place. I don't know about tomorrow. And Lord, help me. I need to do this. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future. Hey, are you worrying? Come on, are you worrying? I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But bless his name, I know who holds tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow. And when the yesterdays become sudden, I know he holds my hand. You know him? You know him? Isn't he sweet? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it just... Let's stand and let's sing this together, okay? All three verses. Oh, it'll have to be somebody beside me. No.
I live from day to day.
Sing it, church, sing it. Do you know him? Do you know him? Anything. right, here's the chorus. Sing out now.
He thinks about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
I tell you what, let's just stop. Let's do the chorus. Dan, you have to lead this. I'm not good at this. Let's do the chorus. We'll just finish with the chorus, but let's do it a cappella, okay? Y'all sound so good. You can get us started and maybe just drop out. Otherwise. Yeah. That's good.
To understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, whatever may come. God bless you. Please be seated. I'm going to indulge, if you will indulge me, I should say. I'm going to hold you over just for another minute or two. The guys in the back have a quick video. I was here back in 2016, was my first visit here with the foundation work, and Brother Dan and Miss Kay, Ron and Deanie, worked with us, later Les and Jackie, and I'm not divulging any of their confidential stuff, but I'm just saying these are people you know and trust who have also trusted us. Listen to me, and I just want you to come back tonight to hear what I have to say about how to keep the government out of your family's life when you go to be with the Lord. God's blessed you with some material assets, some more, some less, but it's not free to get those assets to the next generation or to whomever your beneficiaries are. There's frustration and there's cost built in when you have to deal with the government. And there is a better way, and that's why these families, and by the way, I think the number you'll see in a screen in a moment is 2,100. I think it's like 2,250 now that families that we've helped, over 300 here in the state of Tennessee alone. So watch the video real quick. This is nothing more than people around the country who've used our estate plan work, and you're just hearing some testimonies from them. And please come back tonight. I am going to do a shorter version. It probably won't take me but about 30 minutes to do what I want to do tonight. So I encourage you to come back. And Brother Dan, thank you again for this chance. Yeah, it does need to go up. There we go.
who are speaking. I hate our speakers weren't working real good, the volume anyway, but I'm sure you could hear most of it. These are real people, and these are real situations. At the end of our life, it's a real situation. And Kay and I took care of our material goods during this life with Brother Barry and Les and Jackie and Brother Ron and Deanie. And you don't have to worry about it. You get the government out of the whole situation. When I pass away, Kay's already gone to glory. But when I pass away, it's taken care of. Les steps in as though nothing, there's no separation. He's Dan Foster at that time. He wouldn't agree to that, but that's what he becomes, and he just takes care of everything and makes sure that his sisters are taken care of. So I recommend that you come back tonight if you're interested, and you tell Brother Barry you would like to do that. He'll come to your home, sit down at your table with you, and go over everything. It's plain as can be when he leaves you. If you decide to go with this estate program, when he leaves you, you've got the book, and you'll know where everything is. So please, Brother Barry's a good man. I love him to death, and he'll come back tonight and tell us all about that. If you would, please stand to your feet. And we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. And I want to thank him for the message. I was, of course, as he was going through yesterday, I'm a good one to go back to yesterday. As Tom and I said, we lived in Irwin. And Irwin was the Norman Rockwell place in the country. And I just loved it. And our country was what it was. Yes, Sandy. Okay, let's do that. Remember that you don't need to know everything about that situation. Just take it to the Lord. He knows, and we'll do that right now as we dismiss in prayer. And so if you have a prayer request, bring it to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I totally agree with Brother Barry. We need time together face to face. We don't need to be sitting at home on the couch drinking a cup of coffee all the time. I know that some of our people have to do that at times, and that's why we continue doing the Facebook Live. But I would recommend that you get back into the house of God where you can shake hands and hug necks and listen to the word together as brothers and sisters. Okay, tonight, 6:00, I'll be looking for everyone back. Let's bow our heads. And we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Gene, would you do that, please? By the way, I appreciate Brother Gene. He'll be preaching next Sunday morning, but I'll be doing the communion service. So please remember that. And you're going to hear maybe a few more messages besides me. I won't be able to study like I could for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So please bear with me. No, I'm still your pastor, and if you don't do right, I'll whip you. That's what we used to do to our children, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Brother Gene, would you dismiss us, please?